This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Whoever or whatever has your time is shaping your life. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that many of us have had the opportunity of being raised in an environment where we heard somebody tell us about Jesus and all that he was able to do for us. God, we thank you that in many cases, your Holy Spirit has taken this word and revealed to us the truth that Jesus Christ can shape our lives. So, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit may work through the word again today, and that Christ may live within us, that we may say from the bottom of our hearts, I have seen him, the Savior of the world. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. Take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me. Someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No
Friends in Christ, When did you start preaching about the importance of having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? I've had that question asked to me many times by many people. I think of one particular person on this occasion. It took me by surprise because it must have been one of the first times in my ministry that I was asked this. And I said, well, I'd like to believe that ever since I began to preach, I have preached the importance of living in a personal relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, who takes away your sins. And I said, why do you ask me this strange question? And she said, well, it is strange, because I never heard this message in your sermons until rather recently. So I said to her, tell me about what's happened in your life. And the woman said, well, you know that I've been regular in church. I've taught Sunday school and raised in a pretty good home right in this congregation. But I have had a sort of a spiritual awakening. It hasn't been anything so terribly dramatic. But I sat with some other ladies and we were discussing the Word of God in a Bible study. And suddenly it grabbed me. Jesus Christ has died for my sins. I'm the sinner. This isn't a story. This is a reality. And so now I can say, I know him because I have met him. And she said, your preaching is quite different. There's another dimension to it. It isn't just a history lesson, as it once was to me. But now it is a vital, dynamic word that I am getting from God. This conversation with that woman and many others since then, it reminds me of the words that came from the lips of the people from a village in Samaria. For one day they said to a woman who had shared the gospel for the first time with them, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. And what I'd like to ask you to do is to grab your Bibles, if you have one near you, and open to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 4, because that's really our whole text today, though I want to spend the most of the time in those final verses. You will see that Jesus and his disciples were on their way from Judea to Galilee, and they were going to Samaria. They had come to a town called Sychar, and the disciples had gone to town to get some food, and Jesus, who was weary from the long travel, sat down and waited there at the well, which was given by Jacob to the people. And as he sat there, a lady came along. He looked at her and he said, will you give me a drink? And she turned and said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask me for some water? Because Samaritans and Jews normally do not associate with each other, and neither do men with strange women. And then Jesus said to her, well, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. And then down in the 15th verse of this chapter, the woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And then Jesus really moves in. He says to her, go call your husband and come back. And the lady said to him, I have no husband. He said, you have answered correctly. You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is you have five husbands. You've had that five husbands. And the man you have now is not your husband. In other words, he's a live-in. You're cohabitating. What you have just said is quite true. And this really made the woman terribly uncomfortable, and she said, Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Now, what she wants to do is exactly what we so often want to do. She changed the subject. Let's get off on my adultery. And so she says something very insignificant and tries to make herself look so pious. She said, Our fathers worshipped on this very mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. In other words, which is the right place to go? Can you only worship in one place? I imagine we could say, well, you Catholics and Lutherans are quite different from us Baptists or Methodists, or vice versa, or whatever it may be. So let's get into a discussion about denominations. Not about my sin, not about Christ, not about salvation, not about the way that I should live while I'm here as a child of God, but let's fool around with those questions that are insignificant in the light of what's going to happen to us in eternity. And Jesus turns around and says, Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. In other words, your whole message is lacking. You're going to a worship where they don't even preach about the possibility of a resurrection one day. You ought to go to a place where you really hear the gospel, where you hear the word of God. He said, we worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. And the woman looked at him, and she said, I know the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. And then we'll see who's right, the Samaritans or the Jews, the Methodists or the Baptists, the Lutherans or the Catholics, the Presbyterians or the Episcopalians. And then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. I am the Christ. I am the Savior of the world. I stand here in your very presence today. When she heard that, she was ready to head off for her hometown. Not very far away. She had just come out from that town to get some water. The disciples had been away. They had come back with the food. They wanted to know about the conversation that he had with the woman and all the rest of this. And they told him to sit down and take it easy and not to wear himself out on just another Samaritan woman. In the meantime, this is what she delivered to her people. Come, she said. You come back with me. See a man who told me everything that I ever did, including all the husbands I've had and my type of life that I have right now of cohabitation. And then she raises the question, could this be the Christ? And so they came out of the town and made their way towards him. And then the disciples began to urge him to be quiet. But Jesus said, I've got to share this gospel with these people. And so they got so excited about this, and they, if we had time, we could go through this verse by verse. But finally, the disciples said, why don't you come down to our town and talk with us for a while? You've got something to say to us, and we have itching ears we want to hear. And so he came, and he spent 2 days with them. And because of his words, many of them became believers. And then after he had left, I can just hear them at a meeting saying to this poor lady, you know, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. In other words, first, now I have known what this is all about. I have met Christ. I'm just not having somebody tell me some more about him. I have truly, truly met him. What a message. Isn't it a glorious time when either in word or in deed, you as parents hear your child say, "I trust Jesus. He's mine." I've heard that from all three of our children. They've delivered me some tremendous joy. Some real pride has gone with it. When I know that my daughter goes off every morning to teach little children, I can only be proud and thankful to God. When I know that my son can go off and be an honest lawyer and use every opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm thankful. When I know that my daughter can go to the hospital and be with some of those parents who are anxious and whose children are sick, where she's a pediatrician. But all of that is not beginning to compare to the days in their youth when they could tell my wife and me, "I trust Jesus." You see, as they have said so long ago and continue to say, and it's so true, God has no grandchildren, only children. I can give my children much, but I can't give them that personal encounter with Christ. I can bring them to the Word, but then it's a Word that has got to speak. The Holy Spirit speak through that Word. And that's really where it all happens. Let me tell you another story. I quite often refer to that Thursday morning Bible study, which is a delightful time for me. And we have some of the most interesting people there. The complexion of the Bible study does change from time to time. As I've told some of you before, when we first began, it was made up of people who were not Christians, and some who, if they were Christians, were really baby Christians, had some understanding of what the Bible had to say, but did not know Christ. And one day as we were going over this, and we go over the same thing again and again and again, one fellow said, "You know, I was raised in a delightful church home. Good people and fine pastors, and I knew the Bible quite well for a young person. I married a Christian lady, and we had a place in Sunday school and taught, and we were enjoying our church. But then my good wife said to me, 'Would you go along with me to a marriage encounter?' And then we spent 2 days with one another and a few people who had come to be with us and Jesus. But a part of that marriage encounter was that we had to be alone, husband and wife and Christ, and let him talk to us." And so it was there, in those quiet hours, that I first met him. First I met him, now I had my own experience. Can't you see he is right in the same category with those Samaritans? When they said to the woman, "You know, we don't believe in him now just because you told us. We're thankful you told us." It had a very important part in the whole thing. We would never have gotten to him or had him come here had it not been for you. But you could not bring us to faith. But now that we have seen him, and that's what my friend was saying to his friend in the class, now that we have seen him. We can say, we believe because of that experience. It wasn't the experience that changed Jesus. Jesus was the same all the time, but it was the experience that changed Jesus for us. And I've been a new person ever since. And I can see that friend who had been ministered to by another friend in that Bible class say, what does it feel like? He yet had to have the experience. Does that somehow or rather spell anything out for you? Or do you find yourself either as the one who has had the experience and sharing it, or the one who is being talked to by another friend? I'd really like to throw something out to you as a challenge. If you are married, why don't you plan with your wife to spend a few days this summer at a Bible camp, a place where they really teach the word? Just be together. It might be amazing what you'll hear. And it might be amazing what the Holy Spirit might do. If you're single, you can find, I've taught at many of these camps. You can find camps, you can find other single people who are there. Go yourself. But spend that time not only with Christian friends, but spend that time with Jesus. And then when you come home, why don't you give 30 minutes of each day to be alone with God and His Word? Now, that's what we give to the newscasters every night from 5:30 to 6. Doesn't Jesus deserve equal? After all, is it not true that He who has your time is capturing your soul? That's how the Lord Jesus speaks to us. You remember how He spoke to Paul? For 3 years in Arabia, He was having heart-to-heart talks with Paul. You can read about it. That's where he matured. That's where he came to know the Lord. That's where he spoke like that to Luther. Luther did not know Christ when he entered the Augustinian monastery. He knew a lot about him, probably. He probably came from a very faithful parish and had a faithful priest, but he didn't know Christ. It was when he was in Wittenberg, in his study, preparing his lectures on the book of Romans, that he came to chapter 1, verse 17, and the just shall live by faith. And suddenly, Christ came out of that page. And Luther became a new man to go on and to tell the story to the world. That's how Jesus Christ speaks to you. You know, friend, if we don't spend time every day in the Word, you're not going to grow. I wish I had better news to tell you than that. I have good news to tell you that if you'll stay in the Word, man, will your life change. But unless you stay in the Word, you are not going to grow in Jesus Christ. For the way that Christ speaks to us is through the Word. It's not necessarily special revelations. I'm not saying that these things can't come. I have not had very many, if I've had any. Because Christ has given me His Word, and He can say everything that He needs to hear, say to me, right in that blessed Word. But if I close the Bible, or if I'm not intentional about reading the Bible, then I'm not going to grow. Those people could say in Samaria, first then I met Him. When I listened to what He had to say, you people are sinners, but I'm going to Calvary, and I'm going to die for you. And you'll be mine forever. That's the message. give him time to tell it to you.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love, and do what thou wouldst do.
Hear us then as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's gospel message has brought you comfort and peace for the week ahead. Many of our listeners are not aware that Christian Crusaders must purchase its own radio airtime in order to broadcast our worship service each and every week. Please consider, if you are in a position to do so, sending a financial gift. In this way, you become a partner in carrying out our mission to proclaim Jesus Christ as Redeemer of the world and personal Savior to all who receive Him. God's blessings to each of you. Today's service is available to be read or heard anytime on the internet. Our website has many spiritual tools, including a daily devotion, Bible study helps, and a preview of the coming program. Visit us on the web at christiancrusaders.org. Printed copies, cassette tapes, and CDs of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.